love of Jesus. That's the best thing that you and I could ever do. Amen. It's just so good to be in the presence of the Lord this fine, beautiful day. And did anybody see that double rainbow yesterday? Or was I the only one? Maybe my vision was a little blurred. Sometimes I see double. But it was so beautiful. And I thought it was neat. I was driving home, and I'd seen that, looked over to it, and was getting all distracted. People was pulled off the side of the road, taking pictures of everything, and I'm still looking, and I almost went right over that rainbow. Somewhere over the rainbow, just because of distraction. But it was just so beautiful. But I was just thinking, and I even told God, I said, just how beautiful and wonderful of a creator that you are to even create something like that. And he's just a wonderful God. He created that. And you know what? He created you and I. And in his image and in his likeness. And anyway, don't know where that came from, but I just thought that was neat. It was beautiful. Praise God. Let's go to the Word while we are standing. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says this. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 8, 32 through 36, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, well, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How many believes that? Amen. And then one more passage of Scripture, John 11, 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, or to them rather, loose him and let him go. And I will take my title from the last two words in John 11 and 43. Come forth. Come forth. If you would just put your Bibles down and maybe one more time just lift up your hands and just worship him. Amen. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. We give you the glory and all of the honor. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, God, that your word would go forth and that it would encourage, that it would convict, that it would speak life into us today. And God, that your perfect will would be done. Anoint me in the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless you. You may be seated. Again, Jesus says that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. James 1 and 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And James 1, 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And of course, this is referring to a spiritual death. And 1 John 2, 15 and 16 gives us some sound advice. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world, or of the world. And that's why I read James 1 and 8, because it said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we all know this, that you cannot serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. And ladies and gentlemen, the song that they just sung just a few moments ago, Falling in Love with Jesus, is something that we could just stop and walk away from my notes and we can just talk about for the next 25, 30 minutes. Because ultimately, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that you could ever do. Come on. Falling in love with Jesus, not the things of the world, not the things that's out there, because those things are temporary. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we need to decide, myself included, choose you this day who you will serve. Don't just say, well, it's Sunday, so today I decide to serve Jesus. On Wednesdays, well, I decide on Wednesday to serve Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to also say, I love you, Jesus, and this day I choose to serve you. My mind is made up. I'm going to fall in love with you in every moment, every breath that I take. I'm going to try my best to let you know that I love you right back. Amen. But today I want to reach out to individuals who perhaps have not either experienced and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, or maybe to those who are out there who perhaps have experienced the gift of the Holy Ghost, and maybe in this place you are struggling with sin and with temptation, and you may feel dead in your spirit. But I want to encourage you in this place today that Jesus Christ desires and He can speak life into you today. Amen. I also want to let you know today that you can be set and made free, and you can be resurrected, and you can be given a new life, and you can become a new creature in Christ. But you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the one true living God, and you must believe that, again, He is the way, that He is the truth, and that He is the life. You must believe that He has the power, ladies and gentlemen, to make you free. You must believe that He has the power and the authority to forgive you of your sins. You must believe that He loves you unconditionally today, and you must, ladies and gentlemen, believe His word to be true. You must believe that mercy is renewed each and every morning. And you must believe that His grace is and will be sufficient for you. You must understand that He loved you enough that even while you were yet sinners, He still died on the cross. Even in your sins, He still died for you and me. Oh, how I love Him. And oh, how that should encourage me every moment to fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. And ladies and gentlemen, you are so important to Him. If you're in this place today and you feel you are of no value, I say in the name of Jesus that you are worth something. Because you are His pride and joy. You are His creation. Amen. Romans 5 and 8, in fact, says that, but God commendeth His love toward us in that, while you were yet sinners. Again, Christ died for us. Psalms 147 and 4, and I'm paraphrasing here, but not only did He create all of the stars that you see hanging in the night, but He knows all of the stars by name. Every star. There's millions, perhaps billions of stars that in creation He just flung them out there. And every one of those has a name. There's over 6 billion people in this earth. And you are His creation. We are His creation. And He knows every one of us by name. He knows you by name. Again, you are His creation. So again, ladies and gentlemen, don't allow the enemy of your soul to convince you that you are not significant, that you are not of value, that you are beyond saving, or that God has forgotten you, or you are beyond being resurrected from a spiritual death. Again, let me remind you, you are His creation. I'll say it again, you are the pride and joy, and you are the apple of His eye. In fact, we sing this song, but He thought that you were to die for. He thought you were to die for it. He took upon himself and he allowed all of the pain and the suffering and the humiliation and the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness and remission of our sins and his death to prove his love for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are of value. Every one of you, you are of value. You got to believe that. You know, I heard a song on the way to church today, and I didn't catch all the words, but these few words did catch my attention, and I thought that these were so powerful. And perhaps somebody needs to hear this today, whether you're here, or I don't know if we're Facebook Live or not, but listen to me. It says, you may see yourself as broken, but he sees mended. You may feel worthless, but he says you are priceless. You may feel undeserving, but this morning when you woke up, he said, mercy. You, ladies and gentlemen, are of valuable to God, who is our creator. In fact, Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus states that he has all power in heaven and in earth, and he has the power over the grave. He has power over sin, and he has power over the devil. Amen? But you have to believe that Jesus, again, is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. And his desire today is to speak life into you, and he desires to loose you today and make you free. Amen. Our title again is Come Forth. And in John chapter 11, you can read about the story of Lazarus. For the most part, we are all familiar with this story, but this is referring to a physical death. And they had already put the death garments on Lazarus, and they had placed him inside the tomb, and they had already placed a stone over the entrance to the tomb area where they placed him. He was dead. No more life was in him. Friends and family were still grieving over Lazarus' death. But here's something so simple that I want to focus on for the next few moments. So simple, but yet so powerful. When Jesus arrived on the scene, death was already convinced that the life of Lazarus was complete. There was no more purpose for him. He had ran his course. However, again, Jesus came and said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Again, death had basically closed the chapter on Lazarus' life. But again, Jesus stepped on to the scene. And again, ladies and gentlemen of Harvest, you must remember that Jesus knows you by name. And Jesus stepped onto the scene and he cried out with a loud voice after he told them to remove the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And again, you have to understand something. Yes, again, Jesus knows us by name, but I have always wondered, and probably the only one that's ever wondered this, but what if there were other men laying in their tomb dead that were also named Lazarus, and all of them didn't arise and come forth? But I believe within the mindset of Jesus, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, even death had to acknowledge which Lazarus Jesus was referring to. But in that moment when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, again, ladies and gentlemen, even death has the ability to hear the voice of God and must obey, be obedient to the voice of God. And death had to release its grip, and Lazarus was able to come forth. But not only did he come forth, but Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to convince you in this place today that if you are perhaps spiritually dead or know someone who is and they are not here today because of the effects of sin, yes, you and they may feel and appear spiritually dead, and the devil has placed a stone over the opening of their tomb or over their heart. And people and friends and family have been praying for you, and they have been mourning for you because of the effects that sin has accomplished. But again, I don't care if the person has been dead spiritually for 4 minutes, 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years. It does not matter. Let me tell you something in this place today and all over Facebook. Let me tell you something. Just have faith in God. Have faith in God, because when he steps onto the scene and he says, come forth, and he mentions you by name, Just be obedient and come forth. But again, back in John chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, and allow me to paraphrase. But even after the family of Lazarus had advised Jesus that he had died and now has been dead for 4 days. Again, at first some of them complained because they thought Jesus should have been there or he took too long and now there's simply no more hope because he's dead. In fact, Martha, Lazarus' sister, who was first upset at Jesus, told Jesus that, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died, which may have been true. But then as Martha was speaking to Jesus, she made a profound statement of faith. And she reminded herself of who Jesus truly was and that the power and the authority that he possessed. And she told Jesus, but I know, and listen to this, even now, even though he has been dead for 4 days, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus responded to her faith statement and said, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. And so that response from Jesus that he gave Martha, he gave her hope. And that should give us hope in this place today, ladies and gentlemen. Again, perhaps today there's someone here or someone that you know of who is not here and they are seemingly spiritually dead. Today, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you that Jesus Christ is on the scene today. And you just need to make a faith statement like Martha did and acknowledge the power that Jesus had. And you need to believe that even now there is hope for me. There is hope for that lost loved one. Come on, there's hope for that family member. There's hope for that friend of mine. And because of that hope, you have to believe that they too shall rise again. Praise God. Never give up on those that have seemingly walked away, and you have no idea what they're going through and what battles that they are facing. But there is hope, and we just have to have that even now faith. Jesus, I know who you are. I know your love is unconditional. I know it's your desire that they be forgiven of their sins. It's your desire that they be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that gives me hope. Never give up on praying for those that's not here. Maybe they are here. I'm not trying to be rude or ugly, but it's just reality. And again, the devil knows that, and death knows that when Jesus steps onto the scene, when Jesus comes to the graveyard, there is a chance of life being reestablished to one who is spiritually dead. Ladies and gentlemen, again, when Jesus comes forth and stands at the entrance of your heart, perhaps the devil has already placed a stone over your heart and has declared you spiritually dead. And maybe he's even written an epitaph, and it perhaps says this, here lies a person that I destroyed. They used to be a threat to me in my kingdom, and I was able to distract. I was able to entice and draw them away with the lust of their eyes and with the lust of the flesh and with the pride of life and perhaps a spirit of unforgiveness that's something that they entertain. And I was able to deceive them, and I was able to overcome them, and I was able to condemn them, and I was able to get them to give up. And so here they lay in their grave, spiritually dead. And he basically tried to convince the person again that there is no hope of a spiritual resurrection. But again, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you in this place today, it is a new day. Mercy has been renewed in your life. His grace is sufficient. And his blood still flows today. And his blood is still powerful enough to forgive you of your sins. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Praise God. Praise God. But again, maybe today is the day that he's decided to step into the scene of your world, and he is saying to death and the grave, remove the stone that's been placed over their tomb, and he is fixing to cry out a loud voice and mention your name and say, come forth. Today is your chance. Today is your moment. Come forth. Come out of that grave. He is ready to speak life back into you today. And when you come forth from that grave of sin, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus will command everything that had you bound to be loosed and command you to be set and to be made free. Praise God. If you're in this place today and you're struggling with something and you feel that you are nigh unto spiritual death and you feel so wrapped up and so tight and you can't do anything, you can't even have the strength to lift up your hands and worship your Creator, that's how the enemy of your soul wants you to feel. He wants you to feel tight. He wants you to feel bound to where he will convince you that you cannot come forth anymore. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, when Jesus tells you to come forth, it's up to you to obey the word of God. You step out of that grave, and when you do, Jesus is going to command everything that's been bound to you to be loosed, and he will set and make you free. Praise God. There's nothing like the feeling of being free and being loose from things that has bound you for days or months or years. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell somebody in this place today, maybe again I'm going to feel this in the Holy Ghost, but perhaps there's an addiction that has controlled you for years. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God's looking at you. He's on the scene today, and he's telling you to come forth, and he's going to command that addiction to be loosed from you. But it's up to you to have that desire. It's up to you to be obedient to the word of God. You've got to come forth, and he will set you free. Praise God. That's the kind of God that we serve in this place today. Praise God. Let me remind you, John 11 and 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. Again, let me remind you, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection. He desires to resurrect some of you in this place today. But you've got to have the want to. You've got to have your ears tuned to his voice. Oh, come on, ladies and gentlemen. How many people are sitting in within the voice of my voice today? Again, this is not in my notes, but some of you feel so bound. What have you allowed the devil to convince you of? Have you allowed him to tell you that you're not worthy to praise your Creator? The Bible tells me that everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. And I think every one of you here has got breath in your lungs. So why don't you just take a praise break here for a second, and why don't you just praise him? Jesus, I love you. God, I'm going to lift my hands up. I don't care if the devil tells me I don't have the right to, but I'm telling him I do have the right to lift up my voice. I do have the right to praise my Creator. Oh, come on, let him speak life back into you today. Let him resurrect you today in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have hope in this place today. We have hope in this place today. And Jesus, he loves you. He loves you, and he will do everything within his power to give you that second chance. Aren't you glad for second chances and third and fourth and fifth? Come on. I'm thankful. But ladies and gentlemen, you can hear me preach, you can hear this, but you've got to believe it. There's nothing that I can say or do for you to make you believe this, but you've got to allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that's in this place right now. Let him deal with you. Let him talk to your heart. Let him convict you. Let him draw you with his love. Let him convince you that you are of value. Again, that song I heard this morning just kind of touched me. You may feel broken, but God is a God of restoration. You may feel worthless, but he says that you're priceless. You've got to believe that. You are of value. Praise God. Praise God. But listen, God just wants you to believe in his word. The word tells us that he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Thank God for that. Death, hell, and grave has to release you when Jesus speaks life back into you. Again, Jesus has commanded the stone to be rolled away from the tomb, from the opening of your heart today. And he wants to set you free from that grave of sin that has declared you spiritually dead. But again, if you hear Jesus in his voice and it says, come forth, then I challenge you, get up and come forth. Praise God. But again, perhaps there have been some areas in your God-called purpose and maybe in your ministry, and you have allowed them to start to die out, and you, for whatever reason, have allowed distraction or situations to interfere with your God calling. And again, perhaps you have listened to the voice of your enemy and he is telling you that your ministry is dying or it is dead and that it could never, ever be resurrected. But again, I think I said this Wednesday night, the devil is a liar. I'll say it again and I declare it, the devil is a liar. And God, ladies and gentlemen, he desires to resurrect you in this place today. He desires to use you in this place today. And perhaps again, this is the day that Jesus has decided to come onto the scene today, and he is fixing to call out your name and say again, come forth. I'm ready to speak life back into you and to speak life back into your ministry. I will give you fresh anointing, and I desire to use you for my kingdom and for my name's sake. For I have called you by name. I have ordained you. I have chosen you. And listen to me, he wants to bless you. He will give you favor. He will give you provision. And he says, I will be with you, and I will confirm my word with signs following. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to say, or when you hear him say, come forth, it's up to you to come forth. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God thinks that you are of value? Come on, somebody, raise your hand. Some of you are not raising your hand. I'm sorry you feel that you don't think you are of value. You are of value in this place today. The enemy of your soul has tried for too long to distract you and to get you focused on things that really don't matter because of the ministry that God called you into, that he ordained you to become. Because you're a threat to his kingdom. That should be a compliment. If God gave you a ministry, a calling, and you've allowed things to come in and mess that up and distract you from it, and you've laid it aside. But the longer you walk by that after you lay it down and you listen to the voice of the enemy of your soul, you're going to become convinced if you're not careful. You're going to walk away from that God calling, that purpose that God designed and intended for you to become. And the longer you lay that aside, you're going to become, if you're not careful, spiritually dead. But again, let me repeat myself, please. If God gave it to you, the devil can't take it away. It's your choice if you want to release that God calling. Come on, again, God wants to give us all fresh anointing. His favor on us. Come on, he's going to be with you. He's going to walk beside you. He's going to give you everything that you need to destroy the enemy of your soul. But he's calling out to some of you today in this place, some of you prayer warriors who's been quiet for too long now. He's saying, come forth. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear your cries. We need you. Where's the worshipers? Where's the praisers at? Come forth. Don't let things distract you and tell you that you're not worthy to worship him. None of us are worthy, but by his mercy and by his grace, we have obtained the right to worship our Creator. Why don't you stand all over this house today again, and why don't you lift up your hands and begin to magnify him? Come on, lift up your voice. Don't be intimidated. Come on, Jesus is saying, come forth. Jesus is saying, come forth. Let him loose you. Let him make and set you free in this place today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God can deliver you from those addictions. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. Come on, pray with me. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. God, this moment, I want to be sensitive to your voice. God, if you're saying, Brent, come forth, then I want to come forth. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose us and make us free today, Jesus. Let there be revival released in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise all over this congregation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we're going to come forth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is liberty in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's restoration in the name of Jesus. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Let him become what you need him to become. Come on. Jesus, I need you. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I come against doubt and fear in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits. They are not welcome in this place. Hallelujah. But we know the God of peace who can speak peace into our lives. And he can speak life back into our lives. God, I want to be alive and I want to be on fire for you, Jesus. That's my desire. That's my desire, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Can we sing that falling in love with Jesus one more time? Hallelujah. Again, ladies and gentlemen, just fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Come on, I want you to shut your eyes and just get your mind upon him. If you feel like raising your hand, that's fine, but just sing this chorus.
I'm falling in love with Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever, ever
Hallelujah,
done.
Jesus.